Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. These messages are intended to spark your own reflections and conversations all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime along with other resources and ways to keep the conversation going at fabricmpls.com/scraps.
Good morning, Fabric. Great to have you all here. Glad all of you listening to the podcast today, too. Probably more of you since there was all the daylight savings time. And we're here talking about your living room today. What? You're acting like something strange has happened. So living room, what is that all about? Let me kind of fill you in by telling you about my most common recurring nightmare since I was a kid. So I'm in a house that I'm not familiar with, but is really cool, all kinds of fascinating rooms and places to explore and stuff like that. And gradually, I always in my dream end up going into one hallway that I've been in before, but this time it's littler, but I know I got to go in there, and I go in. And it twists and it turns and it keeps getting narrower. People are going, "Oh no, I've had this one." and then there'll be like little passages where it gets lower and smaller, and I start feeling more and more nervous and trapped. And I just know I can't get out. And then I wake up. Yeah. So it's actually kind of a strange nightmare for me to have, because in real life, in awake life, like, I'm not claustrophobic. Small, tight places don't bother me, you know, a la the box. I mean, it's not a big deal. So I've always kind of just discounted it. I haven't thought about it really much ever until I started preparing for what we're talking about right now, and particularly working on this message today about living rooms. Like, oh, I get it. This nightmare, my claustrophobia, isn't about, like, space. It's not spatial or, you know, physical. It's like mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's personal space. Somehow, I have always had a fear of being trapped someplace that will swallow me up and make me just disappear, and like nothing will be left except that which just ate me. And, you know, and what is that, you know? So my guess is I'm not the only one to have that dream, but this is about living room. Room to live. And I think it's intrinsic to all of us, and I think it's something that's really a little bit threatened today. You know, maybe it's just me, but I don't think I'm the only one who feels this squeeze of self, losing one's room to live and space to breathe in all of this mysterious and wonderful, you know, the amazing, attractive, and exciting stuff that surrounds us. And I'll say this isn't a new problem. I mean, I've been having that dream since I was a kid, when I had, you know, it was a different world and a very different experience with it. But this is something I do believe. I believe that our world today has developed a superpower to be able to squeeze the life out of us like no other generation has ever experienced before. And my guess is all of you kind of know what I'm talking about, and you've experienced that and are trying to figure out how to deal with it as well. It's hitting a crisis level. It lures us in for purposes that have very little to do with us, very little to do with you, very little to do with me. Not terribly interested in who we are, but in what we can be for them, for whatever that other thing is. This isn't just a first world problem either, which is sort of interesting. I mean, I think this is quickly becoming a global phenomenon. This is not just something that we in America are experiencing. And we're living in a time when the world we have chosen asks everything of us. It asks for our time. It asks for our attention. It wants to be playing the key role in our finances, in our relationships, and in our priorities, and in our loyalties. And it squeezes us for every last bit of ourselves until there is nothing left. And here's the deal that I think is going on. You test this out. See if you think this is true. In exchange for lots of good stuff, and I do mean good. I'm not that's not cynical. I mean, it's a lot of good stuff. In exchange for a lot of good stuff, all you are being asked to give up is space for you. All right? You're being asked to give up the space for you. Stuff or you, all right? And who are these villains that I'm talking about? Well, like I said, it's not bad stuff. I don't really think there are many villains in this, at least not the vast majority of it. It's good, helpful, and attractive stuff. And it comes in all sorts of forms. It comes in the forms of all these rabbit holes of what? Of availability and accessibility, expectations, opportunities, gadgets, habits. I mean, you name it, all right? In fact, I think it is good to name it. What are the things that, you know, put you in that box, that take away all of your living room, all right? There's a box on your Sunday paper inviting you to kind of start filling in and maybe, you know, put one star, two stars, three stars and how big they are, check marks or something about it. But let me run through a couple of possibilities. First of all, there's this thing. Does anybody have one of those? Yeah, with you right now, right? Cell phones, smartphones. I don't need to comment on that, do I? Okay, it's just there. Related, there's social media. Just what social media platforms are you involved with? Just say them all out, all at once. Reddit, Instagram, did I hear those? Come on, keep going. Anyway, so yeah, Snapchat, all right. I mean, they're all out there, okay? So is it active? Is it moderate? Is it seldom? I mean, yeah, but you're on it, okay? Again, related. Do you have a job that assumes you are internet-enabled, meaning you are reachable 24/7, meaning there's really no distinction between you're working and when you're not working? I mean, there's some really nice aspects about that. It takes some pressure off of when you are working, but yeah, you know. What about TV shows? What do you even call it today? I mean, I grew up. When my parents grew up, they had no TV. I grew up, and we had three broadcast channels. If it wasn't on there, it wasn't there. No DVD players, laser discs hadn't even come out yet. You're saying, what's a laser disc? Yeah, prehistoric. Okay, so, and today, what do you got? Well, you got broadcast TV, maybe. You got cable and all the variations of how you'd receive that. Then you've got all your streaming. There's Amazon, Hulu, Netflix. I mean, you know, the list goes on. Do any of you, have you ever had this happen when someone mentioned this new TV show that everybody is raving about and you haven't heard of it yet? It happens to me once or twice a day. It's like, really? I mean, where does this stuff come from? And in the sense of like, well, how do you feel when that happens, when you hear about that? Oh, and then what about the Oscar-nominated films? The Oscars were 2 weeks ago. How many of you saw all the Oscar-nominated movies? One! What's your excuse? I mean, really, these are important things. You didn't get to all of them? I mean, what were you doing? Okay. Then there is just plain stuff. There is so much stuff in our lives and in our world, and there's the figuring out what you should get and doing the research, and then there's the getting it, and then there's the having it and the using it and the caring for it and the storing of it. Does the name Marie Kondo mean anything to anybody? No. Help! Yeah, well, we might go there yet during this series. So, so there's not only stuff, there's the disposal of our stuff. I mean, we aren't only crowding our own lives out, but we are choking this planet. Have you guys heard about this island of plastic twice the size of the state of Texas in the Pacific Ocean? Yeah, I know you have. Okay, and then there's food and eating. Food and eating. Are you guys eating all that really cool food that we're like, now we know is really cool and it's really good for you, and you're not eating the stuff that you're not supposed to be eating anymore, and that new restaurant that everybody's talking about, have you been there? Yeah. I mean, come on, let's get with it. That's what people are doing. You don't want to be left out. And then there's fast food, which is sort of the response to all this as well, multitasking eating and saving all of our time and, you know, picking it up on the way home, or better yet, getting it delivered to your house so that you can go on and do the next thing. And why am I in such a hurry? I don't know, but I am. And then kind of back to the smartphone again, or the Alexa-type equivalent of it. I mean, not only is this the greatest source of distraction that any of us could ever wish for, it also represents the fact there is nothing, nothing in humanity that you can't be aware of. And if you can be, you should be. At least we kind of feel that, right? All right, so that's a little bit of what we're talking about. So what I'm getting at is that we're on overload, right? We are overwhelmed, we're overworked, we're overcommitted, and we're when we're overprogrammed. Do you ever feel like there's just no more room for anything? Do you ever sort of feel like Sisyphus rolling that stone up the hill and it's never going to make it? It's always going to roll down and it's always going to roll over you on the way. Now, I know that these are not new thoughts to you guys, all right? And I'm not trying to just cheer you up with it all. What I do think is I want to get it out here in the open. I want to think about it. I want to talk about it because I want to claim space back from it. But I know you would know about this. You felt it. You're close friends with it. And when you have gotten a little bit of time away from it, you've pushed it away enough, you've realized like how much of yourself you have given away to be a part of all that. And I know, I'll say that. I think I know that all of you aren't, that there's no one here that's happy with that. I think we all have different levels of how that's acting in your life and how we feel about it, but I think that's true. And so the interesting thing is how we experience all that. So, I mean, all this great stuff, they connect us like we've never been connected before, but what we end up is lonely. I mean, loneliness. And then on top of that, these are all labor-saving devices. I mean, they're making things so much more efficient for us, but yet we're exhausted like we've never been before. And while all this opportunity and these possibilities are here because of all this sort of stuff, anxiety and depression has never seen this kind of levels among our people before. What's that all about? And then there's overall just a sense of being on a treadmill rather than a path to anywhere, because you're so busy just trying to do all this stuff that has occupied your life for you, that there is no chance for you to be who you are. I don't know if you're kind of familiar with the way of thinking about the what of your life and the why of your life and the who of your life, right? But that's sort of what's going on, right? Is that we are just dumped on with a whole ton of what. And it squeezes away our why. It squeezes away your purpose. And it threatens your who, your identity. And all in exchange for that big what. Living room, right? Living room, it's endangered. But it's worth working for and to try to claim back. So here's what we're up to for these 6 weeks leading up to Easter, okay? This is going to take us up to Easter. We're going to be talking about creating space. We're going to be looking at where our living room is disappearing. We're going to be looking at how it is affecting us and other people, right? This isn't just about you. This is really about all of us together and the fact that we're losing our space, how we pass that off onto other people, and how we can reclaim it for us and for others. And it is worth reclaiming, like I said. It's sorting out the good from the great in your life. It's sort of realizing that there are some essentials that if you don't have, all the other stuff really doesn't matter, right? And how do we stop and think about that and figure out how we're going to be doing that? It makes me think a lot about one of the parables that Jesus told, which I think was going right down this road, when he said there was a merchant who is in search, or he said the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who is in search of fine pearls. And upon finding one of great value, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. You've got a lot of good stuff in your life. There's more than you can handle. But if having that is an exchange for the essential thing, if you are giving up who you are and why you are in order to be about that, then something needs to get figured out and talked about a little bit. So these weeks leading up to Easter are a time for us to be doing that. Traditionally, this time is called Lent, okay? We don't usually refer to it that way because there's so much baggage around Lent. I mean, Lent is mostly seen as a time, if you come from, you know, one of those traditions, as a time of sacrifice and kind of beating up on yourself and realizing how unworthy we are and, you know, all that sort of stuff, which is, frankly, not what Lent is supposed to be about. I mean, the word Lent means springtime. I mean, how many of you knew that? That's not the picture of Lent that you have. All right, we've got at least one person. It comes from the Old English word to lengthen, right? The lengthening of days this time of year has given this season its name. And then Easter, which is the end of Lent, the end at the end of springtime, not only finds its timing with Lent, with springtime, but it finds meaning in Lent, in springtime, right? I mean, what is Easter? Easter is new life. All right? So this time isn't a time to beat up on yourself. It's not a time, it's not all about sacrifice. It's about preparing yourself to embody real life, the kind of life you're meant to have, the kind of meant. And so, you know, we're going to be using this time to figure out how we can do that and how we can be about that a little bit more. Here are a couple things I think for you to know about your living room. We're going to be diving into this in some very specific ways through these weeks. And today I just kind of want to give you kind of a quick overview on it and thinking about it so you can get some bearings and be processing this, all right? So a few things to know about your living room. First, having no living room takes a toll. Now, I messed around with the wording on that for a long time, you know, and I think this is right. It takes a toll on us when we start giving up that living room. You can pay it. You know, we have been paying it, but it depletes us. You know, something is running out, something that is not going to be easily replaced. Here's what I want you to do. Everybody stand up if you're able, all right? You can put your pen and paper down for a minute and wrap your arms around yourself really tight and squeeze, all right? And just kind of feel what that's like. I mean, this is how I think we end up feeling. This isn't real comfortable. This isn't a loving squeeze. This is a, ouch, I'm being attacked from all sides type of squeeze. You can make, I won't make you do this, but you can imagine everybody like in your row bunching up into a big pile, right? Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun, huh? Okay, you can relax that a little bit, all right? Maybe that is what going through everyday life feels like. Oh, stand up. You're not off that easy. Okay. Yeah, good try. So maybe that's what going through everyday life feels like for you. If it does sometimes, at least you wake up that it feels that way, then this is a good thing for us, all right? So that's first thing. The second is your living room isn't a bubble, all right? It isn't a bubble to keep everyone else out. All right, so here, what I want you to do is put your arms out wide now this time, but you can't be overlapping with anybody, so you're going to have to spread out, all right? Spread out. Keep moving, because you got to keep these people out of your space. You're making a bubble there, all right? You're making a bubble so you aren't touching anything. All right, now this maybe feels kind of like a good recovery from, you know, from this, when you're all coiled up and squeezed in. It feels kind of good to be stretched out like that and have your own space. But here's what I'm going to tell you. When what we're talking about, when we're finding living room, you know, this idea that isolation, that I have my own space, this is not the remedy. This is not the answer to overexposure, to being just having everything piled on top of you, okay? This isn't the answer. So the third, and this is where we're heading today, is you aren't going to lose your room, your living room, by sharing it. You're not going to lose your living room by sharing it. So again, put your arms out, but this time, overlap with each other, okay? Go back to your regular place. If you know that person next to you well enough, you can kind of, yeah, you can put your arm around them. That's okay. If you don't know that person, it's kind of creepy. Okay, but we can be in each other's space. So you expand your space. This is what you do. You expand who you are, and you can include other people. And we get stronger. We become more resilient. Yeah, now you can sit down. We become more resilient. We become more powerful when we include one another. We don't lose our identity. There is a place for boundaries. There is a place for what's me and what isn't me. But at the same time, we're better together. I think someone said that once. And we need each other. And in fact, I think my ability to be me is stronger when I use it to help you be you, and then you include me in your span and help me be me, and we do this together. And that's maybe the hardest of the three, but it's the one where life is. It's the one where breath is. It's the one where real living room happens. We'll be discovering more about that in these weeks and how it works for ourselves, how it works for our world, how it is maybe a reflection of the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about. So that's a couple of things to know about your living room. A couple of notes on how to find your living room. I'm hoping you'll be thinking about this week. I'm hoping you'll be looking at these spots, these places that are disappearing in you, the things that you are giving up at whatever level in order to be part of this world that is looking at and demanding so much from you. So here are a couple of things that I'll throw out there, and there's certainly more. And the first is, don't run from your attachments and your commitments, right? Don't run from them. Rather, tame them so they can serve you rather than enslave you, all right? Isn't that what's been happening? We get enslaved by all this stuff. Good stuff. We go into these relationships. I go into that house and start exploring those rooms because it's really cool and it's a lot of fun. And I get lured down these places and suddenly I can't get out anymore. Yeah, it sounds familiar in a lot of parts of my life. They aren't all bad, but they're out of control, so we got to try to tame these things. And if you discover some of them can't be tamed and they got to go, that's another decision. But don't run from tame them. And the second thing here is this taming happens better when you focus on taking on what you want rather than getting rid of what you don't want, all right? When you focus on taking on something purposeful, something that is positive for you, rather than getting rid of what's negative, all right? Focus on what's positive. Focus on what you want to be more a part of your life than trying to get rid of the stuff that you don't want to be a part of your life. Why? Because focusing on the thing that you want is valuable. It's going to pull you into it, and it will displace those other things. If I just focus on what I want to get rid of, I create a vacuum. And everybody knows that vacuums suck, right? And they suck in all that stuff, whatever is around them, into filling that hole, in that void. And what's around you is probably all of those habits that have just accumulated in a line around your feet all the time already. So it's probably not the sort of stuff you want to do. What is a positive thing that will occupy that space, will help you be who you want to be, so those other things can be, will naturally move out of their way, and you can make easier choices about them and deliberate choices about them. Third thing is, this takes time, right? It takes time because it's a relationship thing. The problem is your relationship with all of those factors, whatever they might be in your life, they're crowding out you, right? It isn't just that they are bad or wrong in most cases. It's your relationship with them. And relationship things take time. But slow is fast and fast is slow, you know, I think is the kind of dictum that works really, is very true in all this sort of stuff. So that's a biggie here, is take your time on this. The last is simply this. If you're struggling with this, it isn't because you need fixing, okay? You just need space, right? There is nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's a problem in your relationship with these living room invaders. That's what we're talking about. That's what I would encourage you to focus on as well. You are an amazing person right now, doing great things in this world. Believe that. And as you begin to order the world more around the things that are important, as you find space for self and discover who you really are and find that you are able to express that into the world, you're going to find that you're even doing greater things in the world and you have more confidence and you're happier with all that. So this is your homework this week. We usually talk about the end of the gathering, but your homework this week is simply this. Simply. Haha. Simply this. This is kind of a, you know, take it slow week, all right? This is an assessment week. What are the things in your life that are, you know, getting crowded out? What are essentials that you feel like you just don't have? I don't want to just say time, because sometimes it's not time. You just don't have space for them. And what small adjustments can you make to begin to explore them? You're not going to solve this right now. But you can explore it, and you can start discerning and learning what your next moves are going to be. So don't try to solve it. Try to better understand it and try to experiment. Here's what I'm doing. And I'm just throwing it out there as an example, an illustration. You can do what you want to do. But I have done this many years before, and I'm doing it again this year, but I'm doing a Lenten fast, okay? And this is, well, if Lent has baggage, Lenten fast probably has more baggage. People use it for all the wrong reasons, I think. I mean, they basically turn it into New Year's Eve resolutions. Do your New Year's Eve resolutions on New Year's. That's a totally different purpose. Lent has got a whole different orientation, right? It's helping you prepare for life. It's helping you find space to embody greater life afterwards. Some of you may have seen this article in the Star Tribune yesterday, the top sacrifices for Lent this year as reported on Twitter. I found it rather interesting that one of the most common things that people are giving up for Lent was social media, and they were reporting it on Twitter. But it's also interesting that Chick-fil-A is being given up way more than McDonald's this year. Yeah, you know, that's great. I mean, if you want to do those things, if that is something important that you want to make space in your life for those things, but those are New Year's resolutions. We're talking about something different than that. We're talking about things that will crack open some space in your life to allow you to do some of that exploring, to let your essentials bubble up to the top, all right? And so here's mine. What I'm doing for these 6 weeks is my fast is no coffee, and I don't eat between breakfast and dinner. Now, if you knew me better when I said no coffee, you all would have gasped. I don't drink a whole lot, but I'm a real snob, and I really like it. I really enjoy it. So why am I doing this? Well, first of all, why not? I'm not doing it because it's more healthy. I'm not doing it to lose weight. All right, that is not the purpose at all. I'm doing it because I really like both these things. Like I said already, I like coffee a lot. I also am blessed with a really high metabolism, so I eat a lot, and I eat one meal a day. It starts when I wake up, and it ends when I go to bed. I mean, I just like snack the whole time. So you can imagine not eating between breakfast and dinner like is not a physical hardship, but it's a behavioral hardship, right? And what I do is, so this is what happens. I think, I'm going to get a cup of coffee, or I'm going to go get one of those brownies. And then I think, oh, I can't. This is a conversation actually going on in my head, all right? I can't. And then I say to myself, why not? Because you're fasting from that. And I say, why am I fasting from that? I say, because you're trying to use your inclination, your as a trigger to think about something else. And then I say, well, what is it I'm supposed to be thinking about? And right now where I am, I'm saying, I'm not sure yet. But that's why we're stopping and making ourselves think so we can begin to figure it out. Now, that may sound ridiculous, and it is, and it actually goes on in my head about 12 times a day for the whole 6 weeks, and I've done this many years, and it does it every year, and it really works. I mean, it just uses this natural trigger in me to stop, to punctuate my time, my behavior, whatever's going on, in order to think about something that I want to start rising up a little bit higher in my life. Here's what I've learned from it so far. You know, I just started Wednesday. This is day five. Number one, caffeine withdrawal is a real thing. Okay? It only lasts 24 hours, though, so done. All right, got that. Next, I don't like doing this. First day and every day after, I thought, yeah, good idea, but I won't. This is just ridiculous. I'm not really doing anything, and it's not going to really accomplish anything. I'm just playing a game with myself, and I should stop. And I'm really getting uncomfortable from this. And then, oh, shoot, I just said that word, comfortable. If I really want to make progress, I probably have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You guys know the comfort zone, growth zone thing? Yeah, that thing? Yeah. Okay, so I better not quit. Another thing I've picked out from this is it helps a lot to tell other people you're doing this. You don't just have to stand up in front of a whole community and announce it, but maybe your partner, family, people at work, people for whom this change is going to be affecting them, and they're going to be noticing that. But it makes you accountable, and I think that's an important thing. And those people that are around you then can support you, or they can be real jerks and torment you with it, which is what happens at our office, but that's okay. That's okay. What are friends for? Another thing I've noticed, so far I've had no enlightenment, okay? I've been doing it for 5 days, and I haven't figured out what I was trying to figure out yet, but I've got 40 days left, so, that's okay. And I'm actually kind of happy because I have already started getting a sense of what the questions are I'm trying to ask. I really felt like I needed this. I really feel like there's some big questions that I need to be wrestling with, and I don't really know what they are, and I think I'm starting to maybe get a glimpse of what those questions are, so I can be patient on figuring out what I need to learn from them or about them. That's okay. I feel pretty good about that. And last thing is, and this is what I'm really doing this for, is that I don't need more time to do what I need to accomplish. I mean, we all have enough time. I've got enough time. It's all taken up already. Well, what I need is more space. I need to find that space within myself so that within my time, I can do what I need to do. And that's what is happening with this, is that I have these constant interruptions in my daily routine that inserts this little wedge that says, why? What really is important about? What do I want to be thinking about? And that is doing it. You can't create more space, but you can drive wedges in the space you have and insert something important, even though often they're just little momentary ones. I think that's a good thing. I think it's been helpful to me so far. So I don't set that out as a prescription for you. I'm not asking you all to fast over something over Lent. But I'm encouraging you to start thinking about what it is in your life that you would like to be larger. What would you like to be larger in your life, all right? And what is it that is keeping that small? What is it that's keeping it small? Rearrange the furniture in your living room, okay? See how you can move it around in order to fit in some of those essentials that you feel like, yeah, they haven't been there for me. I haven't been that person. I haven't been able to be that person. I haven't been able to explore that or know that or show that to other people. Maybe what's missing from you is in your time. It's because of your habits or because of your commitments. But again, remember, focus on what it is you're trying to claim. Focus on that thing that you want to be larger in your life, not on what you're giving up. There is another interpretation to that parable that I shared with you of Jesus a little while ago. And that other interpretation would go like this. In it, the merchant is God. And the pearl of great value is you. And in the kingdom of heaven, this place where things are the way they're woven to be, you know, right here in our world, in the kingdom of heaven, God will stop at nothing to have you, to love you, to include you. I believe that's true. And if you are that valuable, don't give yourself away. Find ways to make space for who you are. Give yourself that living room. Amen? Let's do it.
Thanks for listening. We hope you take this conversation and keep it going. If we are adding value to your life, we appreciate your support of this work so we can engage more people in these conversations that matter for their real lives too. You can do that at fabricmpls.com/give. We'd also love to have you join us any Sunday morning at 10:30 at Field Community School in Minneapolis. That's at 4645 4th Avenue South. There are opportunities for kids of all ages to connect to. Learn more by searching Fabric Minneapolis.